Like the great wisdom of our liturgical calendar, which invites us every year again and again to return to the stories of Jesus' life and ministry, death and resurrection, so that we may go deeper and deeper into them and learn from them again and again, so too in this day and age we return once a year to the story of Saint Francis of Assisi and ask ourselves the question, how can he teach us how to live this Jesus way of life? So you've probably heard a little bit before, but let me recap again. Remember, Saint Francis was a very spoiled rich kid who liked to make fun of people and run around with a bunch of his rich friends and basically be spoiled brats. Through an experience of being traumatized in war and then a beautiful experience with God, he changed his life from one of selfishness to one of God-centeredness and began to serve first the poor and the needy. And we celebrate today, in particular, his incredible love of all of God's creation, in particularly animals. And so at 9 a.m., we had a bunch of dogs and cats and chickens and a gecko that we blessed outside. But I want to point out, I don't think it was actually Francis's love for animals that we celebrate, but really the animals' love for Francis. Because he so embodied the love and grace of Jesus Christ that they knew that they were safe in his presence. And so while it's a good thing to celebrate that the animals loved Francis and Francis loved the animals, I don't want us to get stuck there. Because in truth, there are incredible examples of Francis's witness to the life with God that we need to model our lives after today as well. So first off, like I said, Francis was a lover of people. And yes, all people, but in particularly, he loved the unlovable, those who were sick and marginalized, specifically the lepers of his day, people who suffered from a skin disease, who were forced to live outside of the city and basically be separated from all of community. It was this group of people that society did not want to take care of, that Francis began taking care of by himself, and then other people witnessed the glory of God in him and them, and so they joined him. And what has continued to grow today into our Franciscan society that continues to serve the poor and the needy in the world. And remember, Pope Francis is named after Saint Francis. You could make the argument that outside of Jesus himself, Francis has transformed the world more than any other human being. So he was a lover of those who society chose not to love. Second, he took a vow of poverty. He renounced his wealth. And maybe you know this beautiful story as well. You know, his father took him to court, and the father said, either you choose God or me, but you can't have both. And St. Francis took off all the fancy clothes that his father had given him and said, I choose God, and he walked out naked into the streets off to serve God. Now, I'm not saying we should all take our clothes off and put them at the altar right now. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I do wonder, in our age of absolute consumerism, and if you look at the wealth of the world, all of us here are wealthy by great standards in terms of the poverty in the whole world, is there a way that we here in America and in Jacksonville can live simply so that others can simply live? How can we, in our own way, renounce the rabid consumerism that is a part of our culture? And I want to point out, while this seems hard, this is exactly the beauty that a lot of St. Francis's childhood friends, those other spoiled brats who were running around with him, a lot of them saw the beauty and grace and goodness that he was doing in his life and in ministry, and they renounced their selfish ways as well, and they joined him as Franciscans. So this is ultimately a life of great joy. Finally, another way we can follow St. Francis is that he wasn't simply a lover of the unlovable. He was a lover of the despised. The despised in his secular society, but also the despised in the religious society of his day. Now, St. Francis was alive during the Great Crusades. You're probably familiar with the Crusades. They're one of the greatest tragedies that ever happened to the Christian history and narrative. Just for a little backstory so that you know about this, Europe at the time, right before the Crusades, was overwrought with interfighting and violence. The kingdoms and the fiefdoms back then had no more land to fight over, to expand to, so they began fighting themselves. And so Europe was wrought with war and destruction. And in this picture of war and destruction, Pope Leo decided to take all that violence and focus it on the Middle East by reclaiming the Holy Land. And so the Pope said, if you go to the Holy Land and die fighting for Jerusalem, you'll immediately go to heaven. So this was the start, really, of the Christian Crusades to take over the Holy Land. There were probably 6 or 7 Crusades. They lasted over 100 years. And finally, one of them, a group went to go attack the Holy Land, but they never made it. They ran out of money. And so instead of sacking Jerusalem, they stopped off in Constantinople, the center of the Christian East Church, and they ransacked and attacked that city instead, which is all ultimately one of the reasons why the church had the great schism of East and West Christianity. So bad news all around. So in this world of violence in the name of Jesus, St. Francis knew that this was not God's way. And he wanted to stop the violence by going to the Middle East and convincing the Sultan of Islam to convert to Christianity so that the violence would stop. And here are the facts. We know that St. Francis and one of his Franciscan brothers indeed traveled to the Holy Land. We know that they made it past the Christian lines of war, past the Muslim lines of war, and indeed met with the Sultan for about 5 days. And we know for a fact that after those 5 days, he was released unharmed and given safe passage back to Europe. Those are the facts. Now let me tell you the legend. The legend goes that St. Francis and his brother made it to the Christian lines and they thought he was crazy for wanting to go see, try even getting close to the Sultan. But they let him go anyway. And as the Sultan army came and surrounded these two individuals in their simple garbs with no weapons, they thought these two were crazy that they would be there in such a state. But they agreed to take him to the Sultan. And for 5 days, St. Francis and the Sultan of Islam met, and they discussed scripture, and they talked about God's oneness and God's unity, God's comprehension, God's grace, and God's love, and they would go back and forth with the Sultan quoting from the Quran and St. Francis quoting from the Bible, and the whole time St. Francis listened to the Sultan. He pointed out where the scriptures agreed. He pointed out places where he thought the Quran was beautiful. And after 5 days, they had a beautiful and wonderful conversation, accepting each other's traditions and beliefs, and studied scripture. And at the end of 5 days, the Sultan called St. Francis back into his tent. And at this point, it had been filled with treasure. And the Sultan says to St. Francis, "If all Christians were like you, I would become a Christian. But as you well know, I am surrounded by an army of Christians who want to kill me and everyone with me. And so therefore, I cannot become a Christian." There was pause. St. Francis accepted his decision. But then the Sultan said, "But to thank you for our time, there's all this treasure here around us. Take whatever you want for your journey." And St. Francis looked around at all the treasure, and he looked back at the Sultan and said, "I would simply like some food for the journey." And with that, he was given food and safe transport back to Europe. You see, St. Francis was not simply a lover of the marginalized, the unlovable, and the despised. He was a lover of God, of Jesus. His whole life reflected the life of God and Jesus. Remember, Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." And Jesus' life shows us that love is not a passive term. But unfortunately, today in our day and age, there are Christianities that can reflect more the violence of the Christian Crusades and the consumerism and self-centeredness of St. Francis' youth more than they reflect the love, acceptance, and comprehensive oneness of St. Francis and Jesus' understanding of God. And if we're not careful, because the world around us is so loud in its message of violence and consumerism and self-centeredness, if we are not careful, then those incessant voices will drift our understanding of Christianity away from Jesus's and St. Francis's understanding of Christianity. But thankfully, we will not forget, because we are here today together and every Sunday reminding ourselves and remembering the true nature of God's grace in Jesus Christ as known in and through St. Francis. So may Jesus' love radiate so profoundly from our lives to all people, the unlovable and even the despised, that the animals of the earth feel safe in our presence as well.